Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, today's the second message in our Together series. Last week, Mindy kicked it off in style, setting the platform together, God together, and His intent for us to be together on earth as well. And that's our intent here at church, for us to journey together, for families to be together, for relationships at work to be together, at school, at uni, wherever you are, with your kids, with parents, with the in-laws, together. That's our intent. But if you've lived long enough in this world, you only need to watch and behold the brokenness that we live in. And invariably, there are times when together breaks down or together falls apart. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What happens when together is no more? What happens when the idealistic world that we've got, this view, this dream we've got, comes crashing down? What do we do? How do we go about things? Because things can quickly escalate and communication quickly break down in conflict or disappointment. And so my message for you today, you can cascade it in any way that you like. Your relationship with God, even. Your relationship with family, with your spouse, at church, in the car park, on your way to church. Things happen sometimes. It's happened to me and my wife. We haven't even sometimes entered the church. We got stuck in the car park talking when together broke down. You can cascade it down into your workplace, with your family, with kids, whatever it is, with groups, between groups or individuals with individuals. You can just add additional boundaries depending what it is, in a marriage or work or church related. And so these principles today will help us when the togetherness we're after has been short-circuited or damaged. Let's read together Proverbs 18, verse 14. A person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit? It asks the question there, who can survive it? Not because it can't be mended. It's merely making an observation that this is significant. A broken spirit is severe. This is a serious thing we're dealing with. In the Greek, this broken is translated fractured, disunited, strained, broken, disconnected, separated into pieces, shattered, violated, a broken contract even, ruined, afflicted, or smitten. So I think we've covered all the bases here. Yeah, depending whatever your situation or what you found yourself in the past, I think this word covers what we want to talk about. And so I define also a broken spirit as a wounded or a closed spirit that leads to a hardened heart. Something that builds walls or barriers or brings division. And so when things happen, we wonder, is this the end? You know, it's sad. We go through serious things in life that really test our resolve when it comes to relationships. Because relationships, it's God ordained. And like with marriage, it's the closest thing that you'll ever get on earth to your relationship with God. That's why it matters and that's why it hurts when it doesn't work. So this morning, I want to talk to you about some building blocks in restoring togetherness. How do we go about when things are not together? And how do we deal in our own lives, maybe with a wounded or closed or broken spirit? So the first one I want to talk to you about is, number one, start with the right foundation for all relationships. it's important to find the baseline, because these days it feels like everyone's got their own formula. Everyone thinks they can fix it their way, but there's one way only, and it's God's way. And we first have to get that foundation before we can move ahead, because what are you trying to achieve if you don't have a foundation? You might just be doing it out of your own foundation for your own good or your own interest, or it might be a bit wonky. What's the right foundation? So in John 13, 34, Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is Jesus talking to his own folk, for us and church. Love one, it's a command, isn't it? It's not a suggestion. And so how do we do that when things go the wrong way? And sometimes we think we can fake it, don't we? But the truth is, we can't just take these principles today and create a transactional avenue and patch it and think it's going to be okay. Something needs to happen in our hearts to understand the way that God looks at relationships. And because of that, God uses the word agape love and phileos love in this sense. When he addresses this, even with Peter, when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he used both, agape and phileos. And agape is the selfless, unconditional love to accept, respect, and value each other. Unconditional, no strings. It is what it is, because God says. And the phileo love is brotherly affection, a healthy caring for each other. Now, look, I'm not saying we all have to be best friends here. Because in life, sometimes it doesn't work out. And so in certain situations, we need to build some additional boundaries. But there needs to remain a very positive and sincere disposition towards each other of grace, humility, and love. And so when we kicked off together, beginning of this year, Mindy talked about the blessing, the oil on the beard of Aaron, the blessing that comes with unity. We've all heard that before. And if we want the blessing of God in relationships, we have to pursue unity and we have to pursue reconciliation. And when things go down, usually, I call it the classic reject and withdraw. We push away to protect and we get out of there. And we do it sometimes for fear or for pride, self-preservation. When something at church happens, stuff a man, I don't need them. I can find my own church. I'll start my own ministry. I don't need to fellowship with the people of God. All they want is whatever, my time and resource. Or when something happens at home, what do we want? Classic reject and withdraw. I'm out of there. I'll protect myself. Or something happens at work. Stuff it, man. I'll find another job. And I did that many times in my early career. And I aborted things too early for me to see things through that could have led to other opportunity. And when I was a young man in London, jobs were easy to come by. And when the going got tough, I got going. Because it was easy to get another job. It was like, well, I'll go and make it on my own. And I contracted and consulted for a long time. But sometimes that's not God's best intention for us. He wants us to go through things sometimes. And what I've learned in my life is, don't abort too quickly whilst you're in the trial, whilst you're in the situation, whilst you're in that moment, whilst you're in the brokenness. Wait. Press the pause button. Philippians 2, let's read together. "Make my joy complete by thinking the same way, having the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others as more important to yourselves." Everyone should not look to his own interests, but rather the interests of others. Let's keep going. Romans 12, a few key verses there. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but if your own enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. And we have to first examine ourselves whether or not we have the heart of Jesus towards others. That's the foundation. Number two, are you still with me? Great. I might be pressing some buttons here, but there's no buttons I'm going to press today that I haven't had to work through myself. So don't worry, we're going through this together. Number two, drop the walls. Proverbs 18, verse 19, let's read together again. An offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city, and quarrels are like the bars of a fortress. We all know it takes two to tango in relationships. We've got a 50% of accountability ourselves when it comes to that. And we've learned we can't change someone else's will. So what I'm talking to you today about is not the person that's not here. The people that need to hear it are in this room, including myself, because the first three steps I'm talking about is what we can do to prepare the soil for healthy relationships and restoration. So my question for you this morning is, who builds the wall? It's the offended person that builds the wall. Who builds the bars of the fortified city? It's the offended person. It's actually not the offender. The offender's out there having a good time. But the offended person, watch this, have locked themselves in. They've built themselves in. They have limited themselves by getting offended. And so as we've heard before, we've got a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Three independent areas of governance in our soul. Just like at church, we've got three independent areas of governance to make sure that no one gets out of whack. Isn't it good that God created our soul like that? Our mind can reason, can think about things. Our will makes a decision and we go about things. And our emotions can feel. And sometimes it can be good and bad. And what happens is our negative emotions sometimes will take us into a direction where our mind and our will don't want to go. And that's why it's important not to nurture our wounds. Because before you know it, if you haven't made a decision, your emotions can take you down a hill and your will and mind will catch up. And so the quickest way to get over something is to make a decision. Use your will to drop the walls. Drop the wall. Don't be hardened. So my wife and I have this little game. Like I said, I've had to live this. So what I'm telling you today, this is what I personally do. And I believe God's really helped me. And this is out of humility what I'm saying. It's a supernatural thing. When we practice the godly principles and see what God can do with them in our lives. And so when we're driving, you know, sometimes the classic car conversation that can turn into something big all of a sudden. Something small can turn into an avalanche. And then there's the silence, isn't there? And so we've got a thing that we'll say. Drop the wall. Because we can feel it, don't we? We're spiritual beings. Like you don't have to have the gift of discernment to know when there's a wall up. We know. And sometimes I'll tell Kat, drop the wall. And I know immediately when she has. Because with it will come a little smile. A softness of the heart. All of a sudden, she's made a decision of humility to drop the wall, and there's a little smile. And all of a sudden, the situation just dissolves in that moment. And that's, things are normal. And I make the decision, drop the wall, don't be offended, and we keep going. Unfortunately, in relationships, power struggles happen when two people's wills are not equally aligned at the same level of commitment. And that's why I said it takes two to tango. Because if both people are willing to work on it, it makes it so much easier than one person trying to slog it out. Let's read together Hebrews 12. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. Make sure that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble and defiling many. Bitterness, the root of bitterness, causes trouble. And so I've got a picture there of a bear trap. In the Greek, the word offense is translated from the word that talks about being trapped, like a bear trap that you step in. And when we make a decision, you release yourself from that grasp, from that trap. And so, like I said, when you drop the walls that I found in my life, when you make a decision to drop the wall, you release yourself. Unfortunately, when we are hurt, we make bad decisions. Your foundation is skewed. And that's why I said, do not make any decisions whilst, or big material decisions whilst you're in it. So here's the clincher. When you are in it or dealing with something, here's the pup test. Make decisions that are best for your and the other party's future. Don't make decisions to protect your feelings. And it's important we make decisions to protect the other person's future as well. That means we're playing the long game and we're putting others' interests above our own also, which means we're not going to go and usurp what God has got intended for us in our relationships just because of a knee-jerk reaction of being offended. You guys with me? Great, let's keep going. Number three, repent and forgive. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Learn to say sorry. Pride stops us from saying sorry. Through hurt or, again, looking after our interests. So, folks, I'm not insensitive to what people have gone through in life. We deal with real things. But the way God intends it is we must release each other from each other's faults. We must forgive each other, and we must dismiss what others have done for us or against us or to us so that God can do His work in us. And the forgiven becomes the forgiver. It's hypocritical for us to think we're going to hold the others to account and make them suffer when we think about everything God's forgiven us of. If I think of all the mess God's forgiven me, I cannot be but humble and say, I'm sorry. How can I dare keep others to account when I know how much God has forgiven me of? And like I said, it's unconditional. Because unconditionally, I forgive. I give ahead of time you my tenderness of heart. Otherwise, if it's transactional, it's for sell. Rather than it being unconditional to forgive. And the person who keeps making excuses is unteachable. And so, as we go through this in life, stop making excuses. Start doing these things of what God intends for us in our relationships, and you will reap the benefit. Last one I've got for you this morning. Give the other party time and leave the door open. Now, I didn't say force the door open. I didn't say do something that's not there naturally. But as a reconciler of God, give it time, release them, treat them in humility and grace, and leave the door open. There will be plenty of subtleties in the future that you can show the other person the door's open. We don't have to force another will. Because not everyone is as quick to process with things. And I've talked earlier about lamenting. It's okay to process. It's okay to go through these things and feel it. And you can still make a will decision to drop the walls, to forgive and repent, and still go through these things. And a key to know when you've dealt with things is when the sting isn't there anymore. You will know when you've dealt with the hurt, when you talk about it, or when you think about it, the sting's not there anymore. That's when you'll know you've finally entrusted it to God. And so I just want to, in close, talk to you about the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts from the enemy. The shield of faith. It takes faith and trust in God to do what I've talked to you about this morning. And when the fiery darts are hitting you in your heart or your mind, you know you've dropped your shield. And I want to encourage you this morning, pick up that shield of faith and trust God. He's the one that can look after you better than you can look after yourself. You don't have to look after numero uno. God says, you allow me to step in and I'll step in for you and I will make it happen for you. We don't have to try and force it ourselves. So this morning, and I know it's quiet because everyone's thinking, and it's good to reflect upon these relationships, and it's challenging. And even as we were worshiping this morning, before I got here, I had to release some stuff to God because I don't want to stand here and tell you stuff that I am still holding a little black box in my heart about something. So this morning, when we talk about togetherness, it's actually, this whole sermon was about the test of humility. Are you willing to go on the road with God, pick up the shield of faith, put God first and trust Him, so that He can do it for you? So what I want to do as we close, I want us all to make a confession and a declaration together this morning. How do you fight thoughts with your words? And even if you have to say it through your gritted teeth this morning, and you're like, oh, I don't want to, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're going to say something that's going to be a catalyst for you to release whatever you've been holding on in your life. So why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads and repeat after me this morning. I'm going to go slow so that you've got time to really repeat after me. Say, in the name of Jesus, I declare that I will be a person who is quick to forgive and quick to repent. I will not build walls to protect myself, but I trust in Jesus to fight my cause, and I therefore put others first. I declare that I will showcase the unconditional love of God to my family and to others, and to be the example Christ wants me to be. I am a kingdom reconciler, and I thank you, Jesus, for helping me to love others as you have loved me and as you have forgiven me.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.